The following is a recording of the Thomas Paine Unitarian Universalist Fellowship. We are located in Collegeville, Pennsylvania. We are also located on the web at www.tpuuf.org. Please come visit us.
For 1 hour this morning, you are invited to be truly and fully yourself in community. This is our gift. This is our gift to you today, a space and a time where you can be present with all the feelings, the emotions, the experiences which make you, you. Join me now in being fully here and preparing ourselves for worship and for our time together with a great reminder from Natasha Benningfield about living our true lives. Draw a crazy picture, write a nutty poem, sing a mumble-gumble song, whistle through your comb, do a loony-goony dance, cross the kitchen floor, put something silly in the world that ain't been there before. In the great words of Shel Silverstein, and this is our religious imperative for a world riddled with brokenness and pain. Put something silly in the world that ain't been there before. Shel Silverstein gives some good examples, but the main point is that we can bring happiness to others. We can bring a source of gladness to ourselves. I'm Reverend Andrew L. Weber, and I am so excited to be in this community of ministers who put something in, right? You who are online, you who are here in person, you who stumbled in not knowing what to expect, but come home. You who have come home and helped create this after decades. You who helped set the chairs up and you who came in and said, what is this? What is going on? All of you are welcome here and all of you make this community. So thank you so much for being here together. Come, let us put something in, come let us worship together. Unitarian Universalism is a very varied and very versatile religion. But one thing that holds us together is the ritual of lighting a chalice, lighting the flaming chalice. This is a symbolic act taken up by Unitarian Universalists across the country and around the globe at the start of worship services, and a blessing for evening meals, to begin business meetings, at memorial services and weddings. So we light this beacon of hope and challenge this morning with these words from Molly Fumia. To be joyful in the universe is a brave and reckless act. The courage for joy springs not from the certainty of human experience, but the surprise, our astonishment at being loved, our bold willingness to love in return. These wonders promise the possibility of joyfulness, no matter how often and harshly love seems to be lost. At Thomas Paine Unitarian Universalist Fellowship, we kindle a second flame each Sunday as a reminder of our wish for peace in the world and a reminder that peace in the world must start with peace in our hearts. Please respond with the words on the screen. May peace be with us. Thank you. Our gathering hymn is around today. I know, right? There's excitement, there's trepidation, there's like, eye rolling. I see you. Yeah, it's around, which we've had mixed results with using a video, and I get that. Sometimes they're wonderful, and sometimes they're like, well, that didn't work. If you want to have the lyrics for this or for any hymn, the hymnals are in the back, right by the door. You can get up at any time and go get a hymnal, because especially for around, this one has the lyrics for the first time around, and then the next time it doesn't have them. So you have to either remember or look at a hymnal. This is number 362. Please rise in body or in spirit for 362. Rise up. If you want to come up to see the video, you may come forward, or you may stay back there. Enjoy.
Joy. This is sadness. That's anger. Yeah. This is disgust. And that's fear. Ah! We're Riley's emotions.
Ugh.
So how many of you have ever felt sad? You can always, if anyone doesn't put their hand up, then maybe talk with me after service so we can I can get some clues from you. How about happy, angry, disgusted, fearful? Yeah, right? In the second version of the movie, they add more emotions. She's going through puberty and becoming a teenager, and as we know, emotions get stronger and more varied and nuanced. And so she has many more emotions that come up there. Now here's my question. Are any of these emotions better or worse? And yes, I'm leading you along, right? Because watch the movie for Disney's take, but I think that they each have their own time and place, none to be ignored or pushed away. And I'm going to share a reading, a brief reading, which you may know. And if you want to read along, because sometimes I know some people are like, I just want to hear the reading. And some people are like, I want to read along. If you want to read along, it's in the hymnal in the back, number 558 in the hymnal. There's so many good resources in that hymnal. And if you want a hymnal, again, go back there. 558. This passage comes to us from the shared scripture of Judaism and Christianity. For everything, there is a season. And a time for every matter under heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up what is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to throw away stones and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to seek, a time to lose. A time to keep, a time to throw away. A time to tear, a time to sow. A time to keep silent, a time to speak. A time to love, and a time to hate. A time for war, and a time for peace. What was written thousands of years ago still rings true to us today and is witnessed to us again in the contemporary prophet of Disney, right? We all have times of sadness. That was a rhetorical question that everyone can raise their hand, right? We all have times of happiness. We all have times we want to dance and times we want to mourn. And as with so much inspired and inspiring words, the text here transcends the container, just as the message of Inside Out is much larger than the movie itself. The exact content of both Ecclesiastes, the book of Ecclesiastes, and the video we saw, the content is secondary to the truth that is shown, the simple and profound truth that we have emotions, that we have different experiences, and we act differently to our different experiences. So what are you feeling this morning? You can just shout out what you're feeling, and we're not gonna judge you, and those online, you can type in and we'll have it shared. What are you feeling this morning? Joy?
Peace?
Confusion?
Happiness?
Uncertainty? Hunger? Yeah, and there's so much more unspoken, right? All of you, maybe not speaking, can think of what am I feeling? Or what have I already felt this morning? Okay, tired, hungry, excited, nervous, angry, hopeful. Like we could go through a litany. I'm feeling a bit down, actually. And the truth is that I'm having a hard time feeling joy when I look at the news. Surprise. I'm not surprising, but I look at the news. I mean, when I see hatred, I see violence, division, xenophobia, sexism, racism, homophobia, economic and cultural upheaval, confusion, fear. That's what I see and that's what I hear in our country and in the world. People are scared. People are confused. People feel shut off and alone and attacked and unloved. And this is all sides of the political spectrum here, right? This is across the divide of liberal conservative, that people feel lied to, betrayed, and forgotten. So where does the theme of joy come in? Like, oh, we're talking about joy today. Great. Yay. Okay. Just like ignore the news. I don't know. What do we do? How does joy come into play at a time like this? Now, in the newsletter, I don't know if people read the newsletter, but whether or not you do, each month I write an article and I put out a spiritual practice. Like, here's something which you may want to engage further with this theme for our month. We have ministry themes. And for this theme, for this month of April, it's joy. And so for the newsletter, I put out a spiritual practice and I said, bring joy to somewhere you want to experience joy. Bring joy. And I had a link of like, watch this video and see what this guy says about how to do that. So it's not just bring joy. You're like, well, how do I do that? But the question is, what if you don't feel joy? What if you don't feel it? How can we be authentic to ourselves, embody something that we don't necessarily feel? Oh, it's a great question. I'm glad you asked. Right? Because Ecclesiastes and Inside Out both spoke to this. It's okay. It's okay, it's normal, it's good to feel different emotions. There's no emotion that is inherently bad or less valuable than the others. I may have ruined the movie for you, but like the outcome is not that, oh, anger really shouldn't be here. It's no, there's value in each one of them. Yeah, there's none that's inherently bad or inherently less valuable or more valuable. There are times when each one is appropriate and each one is healthy. If I never feel angry, if I never feel happy, if I never feel sad or fearful, there might be a problem there. Our imperative is to be able to recognize and live with all of our emotions. We aren't out to quash one or another. It's good to be happy. It's good to be sad. There are times of hurt and times of healing. And this is a very brief side note, that when I'm talking about sadness, I'm not talking about clinical depression. If you feel like you're in a place that's so dark and there's no hope and it keeps on going, please reach out to me, to a therapist, to a friend, reach out. I'm not talking about depression. That's different. It's not something to be taken lightly or passed over. Now, when I was re-watching this movie clip, it brought up some interesting spiritual practices, which I think are powerful. One of them is the personification of an emotion, anthropomorphizing, if you want like a $10 word. It's taking something and making it into a human-looking thing. So giving human form to an emotion. Personifying emotions can be it's a very helpful approach because it's in line with both therapeutic and meditative approaches to mental health. So tell me about the emotions, and here I may need the little people in the back again. Do you remember them? Who's this emotion? Sadness? Yeah, that's sadness. Okay, and what, how did she act? It's not wrong. How did she act? Or how do you feel? How do you act when you're sad? Say it again. Distant. Mopey. Quiet. Crying. Low energy. Yeah. Yeah, all of those. How about this one? Who's this?
Fearful.
Fear. Fearful. Yay. How did he act, or how do you act when you're afraid, when you're fearful?
Manic.
Skittish,
defensive,
avoidance. Yeah, there's some overlap too. I mean, looking sad and fearful. Like maybe you act some of the same. Okay, next one. Who's this? Anger. How did he act, or how do you act when you're angry? Bad? Mad, you act mad. Okay, I thought you said bad, which could be both. Act bad and mad. Destructive? Loud? Less thinking, impatient? Oh, yeah. Angry, yeah. How about this one? Who's this? Disgust. Yeah. How does she act, or how do you act when you're disgusted? Vomitous, impatient, sort of avoid, gag reflex, yeah. And how about there's one more? Who's the last one? That's joy. Joy. How do you act when you're joyful, or how does she act?
Dancing.
Dancing. Giddy.
Smiling.
Energetic. Laughing. Yeah. And here's the thing. When we name our emotions, or when we name them, and see them as entities unto themselves, it can help us because we're not defining ourselves by the feeling. All right, here's a practice I bring you adapted from the book The Happiness Trap by Russ Harris. The book is about a therapeutic approach called ACT, or Acceptance and Commitment Therapy. Now this is a lot like, oh my gosh, you just went from Disney, you like jumped right in. Yeah, but it's the same thing. Check this out. The grounding for this therapeutic approach, it's firmly rooted in the spiritual practice of mindfulness. And it's with this mindfulness that we can approach our emotions. The practice is as follows. It's three steps and it's fairly easy. When you have an emotion that you don't feel you're able to control, you insert the phrase, "I'm having the emotion that." Instead of, "I am angry," "I'm having the emotion that I'm angry." And then you do it again, but with a slightly longer phrase, "I notice that I'm having the emotion that," right? And see what happens. So, "I'm sad." You could even be, "I'm overwhelmed by sadness." "I'm having the thought that I'm overwhelmed by sadness." "I'm noticing that I'm having the thought that I'm overwhelmed by sadness." Now, this sounds like a trick. It's like you're just saying words. You're not doing anything. But this is what meditation is all about. It's not about stopping the thoughts and not about saying, "I can't be sad anymore. I can't be angry or fearful." No. It's saying, oh, look at that. Oh, yes. And this is passing through. Oh, I'm really angry. I notice that I'm angry. Yeah. Oh, there my thought of inadequacy goes up again. Okay. Noticing that. This method of saying, "I'm noticing that I'm having the emotion that," is a great way to get started on stepping back from letting an emotion control our being. "I'm angry" defines me as angry. Noticing the thought in my brain allows me to change, to react differently without having that define me. And from this simple exercise, we can sort of step back from being more mindful about our thoughts, our emotions. And this is essentially what's happening in the movie, is saying she's separate. Those are her emotions, but she's not defined by them. And we will have time to try this later, actually, after Matters of the Heart. But you can do it right now. So right now, take a moment. What are you feeling? Just holding your head. Maybe frustrate me like, "Andrew, I get it." Maybe boredom. Maybe happiness or excitement. You don't have to judge it, just notice. Name what you're feeling. "I'm angry." And then take a step back. "I notice that I'm feeling angry." And then one more. "I notice I'm having the thought that I'm angry." How does that feel? Hopefully, Hopefully you're feeling a space open up, a space come between your emotion and your self-control. Remember, emotions aren't good or bad, as long as they don't control us. And the practice we're doing is it parallels a Buddhist aphorism about mindfulness. Pain is inevitable, but suffering is optional. Right? Pain is inevitable, but suffering is optional. Oh, so it's like so many things. It's like that's so simple, like so difficult. Right? I mean, I can think of many times in my life when my suffering did not feel optional. And I bet you all can too. So what does that mean? What does it mean to say pain is inevitable and suffering is optional? There are hardships in life. Hey, look at the news. Yeah. There are times when things will not go our way. I can guarantee you that. There'll be a time of pain, of heartache. Inevitable. But suffering is different. Suffering is what we do with the pain we have. The Dalai Lama said, to a large extent, whether you suffer or not depends on how you respond to a given situation. We can sit with our pain. We can stew with our pain. We can let everyone know about our pain. We can create more suffering for ourselves, for each other, or we can choose to have a very different reaction. And this is the part that's the hard. This is the hardest to hear for me, and maybe for others. This is the hardest part to hear, that suffering is optional. And I try to take the advice of Dr. Viktor Frankl, whom some of you may know. He's a neurologist, psychiatrist, and a Holocaust survivor. And in his book, Man's Search for Meaning, he says, everything can be taken from a man or woman, but one thing, the last of human freedoms, to choose one's attitude in any given set of circumstances, to choose one's own way. Okay, Frankl has a certain clout in what he says. He has lost everything, his possessions, his loved ones, his family. Everything has been taken from him. Yet he still says that human beings have the freedom to choose their response. We can always choose our attitude. Right? Getting to a place where we can say with wholehearted conviction, pain is inevitable, suffering is optional. That takes work, that takes time. But choosing our attitude is a way we can live in gratitude. It isn't one easy, quick way to be more mindful of gratitude and joy. The practice I shared of noticing our emotions is one way. An important thing to remember is that it's not so much as to what happens to us as how we interpret what is happening, how we react, because we all experience heartache and jubilation. The difference is how we choose to react. And speaking of Viktor Frankl and the trials of Jews reminds me of what holiday it is. Who knows what holiday started last night? Passover, or what's happening after service today? A Seder, we're having a Passover Seder. If you brought something to share, if you're like, I don't even know what the word Seder means, like, you're still welcome. You can come, you can be part of it. We are having a Seder because Passover started last night at sundown. Passover is a Jewish holiday celebrating the liberation of Israel from Egypt, from slavery. It's celebrating the liberation. It's recognizing and teaching about what happened, remembering, but it's also a festival. And this Passover Seder, I think, is a fantastic representation of recognizing the wide gamut of feelings we experience. We're so happy we're not in slavery. We were in slavery for 400 years? Oh my gosh, we need to remember that. Remember what happened. So I've been sort of going around the question that I had. I had a question at the beginning, sort of like tiptoeing around it. I haven't really answered it. Like, Can we bring joy into situations where we want to have joy, where we want to experience it? And this is my answer. My resounding answer is yes. I'm like, okay, yeah, it's a surprise, right? No, I say yes, you can bring joy, but qualified. A resounding but qualified yes. The qualification is that we first and foremost have to do the work and be true to ourselves, right? I don't agree that it's good practice to fake it until you make it. I don't agree with that. That just by putting on a happy face, ignoring your hurt, that will make you joyful. Now, I think we need to be true to ourselves. Being true to ourselves means noticing, living with our feelings, not ignoring them. That's the qualification, that there is a time and a place to be happy. There is a time and a place to be sad. And as we get ready for the Seder, because we'll remember that heartache, remember those times of trial and slavery, while celebrating, I want to try an exercise, and I need 10 volunteers. And come on up, yeah. And those little ones too, yeah. Yeah, come on up, Bob. I need 10 volunteers who are up for putting on finger puppets. And now you're like, oh, I do want to, or I don't want to. Maybe, okay, all right. So I'm gonna hand out the finger puppets. Don't be offended with what I give you. You just get what it is. Okay. This. Yeah. Here's Cindy. I need one more person. Who wants the frogs?
I want the frog.
Oh, you want the frogs. She's switched. You can have the cattle plague. So, so these are the 10 plagues of Egypt. The 10 plagues which were sent to Egypt. And we will hear more about these during the Seder. Is that correct? We will hear about these because part of that remembrance is teaching, right? It's a celebration of liberation. It's remembering what happened. It's teaching. Now, here's what I want us to do, is I want us, you included, don't look at that. That's my secret notes here. She's cheating. Someone watch her. I want you as a group to help them get in the right order of the plagues. So we can read them. So tell me what plague you have, and I'll repeat it so everyone can hear. Locust.
Hail.
Hail. Blood.
Firstborn.
Lice. Lice. Frogs.
Wild animals.
Oddly, translation, this could also be fleas. Or flies.
Flies.
Wild animals, also flies.
Darkness.
Boils. Cattle plague. Okay. In my notes, I have, literally, it says, chaos ensues. So, put them in order. I leave it to you. And if you grew up going to Seders, maybe, you know, hold off until the end to see how they did.
Which is the last and which is the first?
Listen. How are we doing? Not good. Okay, you feel like you're really strong. Okay, let's test out and see how we're doing. And if you know the answer, you can tell us if there's a question. So we're starting on this side. So first is what?
Locust.
Blood is first. Turning blood to water. Okay, so next, what do we have? Locust is still next. Locust, you need to move down a little bit. Yeah. So what's after blood?
Hail.
Frogs! The frogs are next! Okay, after frogs, then?
Boils.
You're just gonna say boils every time. The lice are after the frogs. Blood, frogs, lice. It's the flies or the wild animals. Yeah. After the wild animals or the flies? The cattle plague. The cattle plague. Okay, now, what's next?
Hail.
Boils. And then hail. Locust, you're here. Locust, darkness, and my firstborn with firstborn.
Oh. That's kind of scary.
It's scary. Thank you all very much. We'll go over this. You just put him here. Yeah, just. Okay. This may be new for some of us. This may be a refresher. But here's the thing, like, obviously, these are not good things. No one's like, oh, I'm really, well, someone's excited about boils, but no one's like, I want that plague, right? These are bad things. These are bad. And yet, we can do this remembrance, we can talk about it, we can have this and bring joy. That was what I was hoping to do, and I hope that happened, right? We can remember the negative while bringing joy into the world. Also, from Viktor Frankl. Between stimulus and response, there is a space. In that space is our power to choose our response. In our response lies our growth and our freedom. Getting to that space within our minds, within our lives, that constitutes the practice. Getting our minds used to focusing on the blessings, on the joy in our lives, constantly coming back to positive interactions in our relationships. None of this is one and done. It's not like, oh yeah, remember Andrew talked about that. Yeah, I'm done now. I don't have suffering. I'm good. It's like, no. These are practices. This is coming back to it again and again. And when we use that beneficial pathway, that pathway becomes easier to use, not just when we're walking, but in our minds too. Our brains will be more positive. Our actions will be more positive. We get more used to focusing our thoughts, our actions toward good. For better or for worse, emotions are contagious. It's up to us what we want to promote, right? They're contagious. So the emphasis of my answer is yes, that we can cultivate mindfulness. We can create, we can sustain a space between emotion and reaction. We can be mindful about the reality we're creating and the world we are bringing into being. It's true that we can make our own reality, especially with how contagious emotions are. Coming into a space thinking it's going to be negative might very well make that true. Coming into a space thinking that it will be positive might very well make that true. So my charge to myself, my charge to all of you is twofold. A twofold and seemingly conflicting charge. Be true to yourself and bring the joy. Amen and blessed be.
Morning, everyone. My name is Alex Dooley. I'm loving the packed house today. Now is the time in our service where we take time to share with our community and bring our whole selves each and every week. This is one of our religious imperatives, that we bring the hurting, the celebrating, the joyous, and the heartache. We are called to be ourselves completely, while also allowing others to be themselves completely. Each week, we take time to specifically recognize this part of our faith by sharing from deep within the joys and sorrows which come out and must be shared with our community.
can bring this time of sharing to a close. On many weeks, we sing Spirit of Life, but that week is not this week. And so instead, we shall be singing I've Got Peace Like a River.
Right. As Andrew alluded to earlier, we're going to do something a little different today. We're going to do a mindfulness meditation on emotions. So if you could sit quietly for a few minutes, settling into your seat. If you feel comfortable, maybe close your eyes or soften your gaze. Notice the feeling of your breath entering and leaving your body. Notice the sounds around you. The sensations on your skin, the sensations within your body. Notice any thoughts that might be floating to the surface. Imagine these thoughts as icebergs. The thought is what we see above the surface of the water. Beneath the surface, the much larger part is an emotion or several. For example, if we are thinking about a long to-do list and how we're never going to get it done, the emotion below the surface might be anxiety or guilt. If we're struggling with an emotion or with an argument we had with a loved one, the underlying energy might be sadness or a feeling of abandonment. What emotions are beneath your thoughts right now? If you are able to, name these emotions to yourself or out loud. When you notice the temptation to get lost in the story you are telling yourself about this emotion, gently return to beneath the iceberg. To just the emotion. I feel sad. I feel angry. I feel hurt. I feel lonely. See if you can feel where these emotions are living in your body. Notice if there are any emotions lurking around that might feel less difficult. Is there any joy, excitement? There is space for all these emotions to coexist. Every time a thought arises, name the emotion beneath it, that large unseen part of the iceberg. Stay here for a few moments. Continue naming your emotions. Once you feel like you've named all your emotions, you can open your eyes. Thank you all for participating.
Thanks, Alex. We're going to end with, I picked it, a wonderful song about laughing and crying, about the span of our emotions. It's 3:54. We laugh, we cry. Please rise in body or in spirit for our closing hymn.
We laugh, we cry, we live, we die, we dance, we sing.
We extinguish the symbolic flames, knowing that they go on in us, in our lives and actions. Between stimulus and response, there is a space. In that space is our power to choose our response. In our response lies our growth and our freedom. Amen and blessed be.